You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Detroit basketball! What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, February the 18th, and the Pistons versus the Bulls on MJ's birthday. Doesn't get any better than that. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well.
And I'm Brother Brian, and can somebody please get me Fernando Tatis Jr.'s number? I need a friend.
Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in the episode. But thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. It is Thursdays with Brian again this week, and we'll tell you why, but he's going to fill us in on what happened with the Bulls and the Pistons on Wednesday night. We're also going to talk about how this game might be a little bit of a taste of what we're seeing, the good, the bad, and the ugly maybe at times from the young Detroit Pistons. And a little bit later on, a little bit of Blake Griffin talk from the Windy City as Locked On Bulls co-host Matt Peck, good friend of mine, good friend of the show, is going to opine about the possibility of trading for Blake Griffin. I have not heard this segment yet, but knowing Matt Peck, it's going to be very entertaining. It's just nice to get that other perspective on some of these players and some of these scenarios that we've talked about here over and over again on Locked On Pistons. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. Give Brother Brian a follow on Twitter at @BShook12. And also the Play Michigan Twitter account, Play_Michigan. Brother Brian, thanks for joining us. You came out of your cage a day earlier than we usually let you out.
Yeah, I'm not even supposed to be here today. But no, it was had to keep some eyes on the Pistons game as you had another task tonight, didn't you?
Yeah, I got the call from the bullpen about midday that I would be heading up to Little Caesars Arena to go watch Detroit and Chicago, but not the Bulls and the Pistons, the Blackhawks and the Red Wings for the Associated Press, filling in for AP sports editor Larry Lage, the great Larry Lage. Had to go watch his son playing some freshman basketball. So anytime he gets the chance to do that, I'll gladly go make a little side money for the Associated Press and watch an entertaining two rebuilding teams in Detroit and Chicago. But I guess Brian on TV had that same situation of rebuilding Detroit and Chicago teams. Although the Chicago Blackhawks playing rookies and looking exciting and winning maybe more games than they were expected. So I guess the Chicago Blackhawks are kind of like the Detroit Pistons, and maybe the Detroit Red Wings, who are struggling and continue to struggle, are a little bit like the Bulls, although the Bulls are kind of like, how is this? You know, we'll get into it a little bit, but Zach LaVine looks great this year. And maybe the young guys, I know they got the injuries with Markkanen out, and Wendell Carter's back, but he's been out a little bit too. But, Brother Brian, long story short, I didn't watch the game. I watched some highlights on the great Hal Bregis of Twitter, one of the best Pistons Twitter guys out there, put a bunch of clips up there. So some easy viewing for me to check out some of that stuff. But Brother Brian is going to tell me what happened in this game. Who won? Did the Pistons win?
Well, the Pistons snapped their season's first winning streak at two with a 105-102 loss to the Chicago Bulls on Wednesday night in a game that wasn't even on the schedule until yesterday to fall to 8-20 on the season.
And depending on who you ask, losing is a win, right? So for some of the audience, a loss is a win and a win is a loss. But this one is an L in the books and what looked like a W for much of the game and much of the night, right?
Yeah, well, this was a game that would have made Charles Dickens proud, as it was a tale of two halves.
Nice.
Saw the Pistons lead by as many as 25 in the first half before a 12-point third quarter allowed Chicago back into the game.
How did my boy Jeremy Grant do?
Ooh, you're going to love this. Detroit was led by none other than Jeremy Grant, who had a career-high 43 points. This is the seventh time this year he has either set or tied a career high, by the way. Most of those came in the second half as he scored 25 of the team's points in the half. And the Pistons only scored 40 themselves. He was seemingly the only one who could score down the stretch.
So seven times he's either tied or broken his career high, 43 points on Wednesday night. What's the over? Is it 0.5 is the over under of how many more times he will set or tie his career high? What do you think about that?
He's going to try to get that 50 burger at some point this year and enter that club. He got a little bit of help here tonight, not enough, but Sadiq Bey got 12 points, although he did cool off shooting, only 1-5 from deep, but he did get 7 boards. And DeLon Wright had 12, but he was unable to connect on a good look. He did get himself a good look from 3 as time expired, sealing the win for Chicago. And after the game, I caught one of James Edwards III's tweets about what DeLon Wright said about that last play, is that the team expected the free throw to go in and had a play drawn up. There was about 6 seconds left, and that did not go in, so they had to improvise. DeLon Wright actually grabbed the ball, kind of brought the ball up the court. Well, like I said, was able to get a kind of a straight down three from the top, and just didn't get in, and time expired on him.
I'm taking the over on 0.5 Jeremy Grant. I think he's going to eat one more time at least. He'll go at 43 or better one more time this season at least. 15 of 25 from the field, 9 of 9 from the free throw line too. Not so bad, but not the great finish either.
Right. And your boy, Mason Plumlee, had 11 and 8.
I needed 2 more rebounds. I had a prop bet on him to get a double-double. So if I would have gotten a couple more rebounds, then I would have really been a Mason Plumlee book guy.
Right, yes. And off the bench, Dennis Smith Jr. had 10. He looked a lot more comfortable in the first half of the team's offense. Like the rest of the Pistons besides Grant, he could not get it going in the second half.
But Zach LaVine continuing his amazing season as well.
Yeah, in Chicago, they got a stellar effort from him. He tossed in 37. And just down in that fourth quarter, it just seemed like every time up and down the court, it was Grant, LaVine, Grant, LaVine, Grant, LaVine. LaVine did really take the game over in the third quarter. He scored 17 in that quarter alone.
The two guys are having outstanding individual seasons. They're probably going to be left off the All-Star game just because of where their teams are at right now. Julius Randle is kind of maybe that last player on the All-Star team. And just because the New York Knicks are having a better season than the Pistons and the Bulls, that might be the thing that puts him over the hump over guys. Like I saw Mark Stein was putting together his All-Star team, and he had, you know, Jeremy Grant on the snub list, the short list of guys who deserve mentioning but might not get on the All-Star team, despite how fantastic he's been this year.
Yeah. LaVine did get some help from Wendell Carter Jr. He had 18 points, and rookie Patrick Williams had 17, including a late corner three that kind of put the game, out of reach for the Pistons there, that, you know, made it so that they had to force a three here at the end. And Thaddeus Young had 9 points and 10 rebounds off the bench for Chicago.
The rumor was that Troy Weaver loved Patrick Williams going into the draft. We'll never kind of know if that was true or not, or if that was a smokescreen, but Chicago swooped him up, and sounds like they've got themselves a real good player there.
Detroit was unable to cover the 2.5 point spread, which fell from 3 to 2.5 with about 5 minutes before tip, and that was the difference. From betonline.ag, to go to 15-12-1 on the season against the spread, the under came in for the third time in 4 games. Detroit will look to get back on track in Memphis on Friday at 8 p.m. against Ja Morant, the 11-12 Grizzlies, from the FedEx Forum, in a game that will be on Fox Sports Detroit and WWJ 9:50 a.m.
Always love getting a look at those Memphis Grizzlies and Ja Morant, one of the more exciting players in the NBA. We'll have more on those guys on Friday. But anytime a player gets the Eastern Conference Player of the Week, then you are also going to be the Locked On Pistons Ultra Player of the Week as well. There is no fan base, maybe up until the second half on Wednesday, that's having more fun right now than maybe the Detroit Pistons fan base. I see a lot of folks coming out of the woodwork. I'm getting texts from friends that haven't watched this team in a long time that are, hey, Jeremy Grant, that guy's really good. But I tell you what, it's only worth it with these sports and whatever you're doing if you enjoy it. The joy that creates the success, and that's what they're trying to build here with the Pistons. And Sadiq Bey is making a joyful time for Pistons fans. I think it was 30 points and 7 for 7 from three. Had the outstanding game in Boston with the win there, and is just making it happen for these Pistons night in, night out. Looking like a vet. We knew he'd be a little bit polished, more so than your average rookie, but he's proving to be that and then some right now. And enjoyment isn't the end of the game. It's the whole game, and guys like Sadiq Bey and the way that these young Pistons are performing are bringing joy, happiness, and excitement to you guys, just like Michelob Ultra is the way to bring joy, happiness, and enjoyment to your weekends or even your weeks, as well as this winter weather is going to go away soon, and we're going to have more joy and happiness here in the great state of Michigan. 2.6 carbs and 95 calories for Michelob Ultra, which I'm going to indulge in a little bit this weekend, maybe celebrating someone's birthday, Brother Brian, as well as a couple of brews, a couple of Michelob Ultras will make that even better. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? Up next, we're going to talk about the good and the bad of rooting for a young team. It's going to be a wild ride in the post-Blake Griffin era. We're going to talk about that next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts a breakdown of the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcast. Brother Brian joining myself, host Matt Shook of the Locked On Pistons podcast. We're going to dissect the Red Wings power play right now. They haven't scored in the last 10 games on the power play, 30th in the NHL. Brian, what does Jeff Blashill need to do to get the red and the white winged wheel back into the glory days?
We need to get DeKaiser back into motion. I don't know what's happened with this guy. He cleared waivers the other day. Are we really doing this?
Nah,
what's going on?
I think we can skip that. But the Pistons and the Bulls, and as I was following it along, you know, I think they were up 25 late in the second quarter, and then, you know, it was down to single digits and even, you know, three.
So quickly.
Yeah, like midway or even maybe a little bit more than midway through the third quarter. So, and I think, and it's a little bit on the nose because it's like you said, Dickens, you know, best of times, worst of times, a tale of two halves, right? Mm-hmm. So that's obviously cliche, but it gets into the bigger point of, I mean, this is what we're going to get with this team in the second half of the season. Derrick Rose is gone. Blake Griffin is all but gone. No updates from what we talked about in the last couple episodes this week on that, although we will get some thoughts from Matt Peck a little bit later on in the show. But it's going to look really good and really fun for a quarter here, 5 minutes here, a half here, maybe three-game stretch. Maybe they'll get a three-game winning streak at some point this season, I got to believe. But there will probably be another five-game losing streak at some point this season as well. So I guess it's just going to be a roller coaster, right?
Yeah, and to see what the top of that roller coaster, how crazy it got during the first half of this year from the Chicago point of view watching this team. Former Locked On Pistons host Duncan Smith tweeted this out. He must have been watching the Chicago feed. Said that their color guy, Stacey King, if you remember him from Bulls teams past.
I think he was the key guy on those Bulls championships.
Yes, he was. Got all those rings.
The most important player.
Right. But he said this during their broadcast, this about the Pistons. This doesn't look like a team that's lost as many games as they have. They look like one of the Eastern Conference's best, is what the opposing color commentator said at the height of with the Pistons being up by 25. They had I forget who tweeted, was James or Rod who tweeted during it, that with about 2.5 minutes left in the second quarter, they had 61 points and were up by 25. And with about 6.5 minutes left in the third quarter, they had 65 points and were up 7. So that's how quickly the lead just dissipated. And, you know, in the third quarter, it just looked, the game looked ripe for some Pistons to just kind of stand up. And it was kind of before Jeremy really got to go, and he really turned it on in the fourth. And it looked like Josh Jackson was kind of forcing some things. Man, it was just, you know, as well as they shot in the first half, you expected some course correction a little bit, but it just came so fast and furious. And, you know, especially when you're going to be leaning on these rookies like Isaiah Stewart and Sadiq Bey a lot more, and hopefully Killian's able to get back on the court, it's just going to exacerbate the inconsistencies of these teams, as these guys are going to hit rookie walls, going to be put in situations they have never seen before as basketball players. And it's going to be them having to learn and react to a lot of these things. So as young as this team is, and with the expectations as non-existent, I guess, from a wins-loss perspective, these guys are just going to be learning on the job, and it's going to get ugly like it did during the third quarter tonight.
And there's going to be some drama, too. You look at, the other side of the court. I understand, of course, Patrick Williams and Coby White both in the starting lineup for the Bulls. But to start the second half, Billy Donovan goes with Thad Young and Thomas Satoransky, more seasoned veteran guys, for those younger players instead. And obviously it worked out for the Bulls on this night. And maybe a little bit of a message was sent to the young guys. And the team kind of course corrected a little bit. Now this is a guy, this is a team in the Bulls where they're using these veteran players as kind of backfill behind the younger guys. And we know that Dwayne Casey kind of looks at things the other way and gives the veterans more of the nod and helps the young guys kind of earn it. Now, I'm not following the Bulls on a day-to-day to know that it's exactly the opposite of what Billy Donovan's doing and Dwayne Casey. But, you know, those are the types of discussions that they're probably having in Chicago. Chicago, just like the Minnesota Timberwolves, you mentioned this earlier this season as well, it's kind of a little bit of the bad side of a rebuild, right? They've been doing this for a few years now. They've got some really nice young players over there. They've got Lauri Markkanen, who's injured right now, but you get Patrick Williams, you get Wendell Carter, you get Coby White. All these guys, there's reasons to really be excited about all those players. And Zach LaVine is turning into that fringe all-star that not a lot of us thought he would ever get with the knee problems that he had earlier in his career, the lack of efficiency with the offense that he had. But I was around – you know, the Dwayne Wade, the Rajon Rondo, Jimmy Butler era, the Chicago Bulls, covering them for the AP when I was living in Chicago. And that was kind of like the 18-19 Pistons, right? The Griffin, Drummond, trying to get that eighth seed and maybe get to the second round, but realizing that there's really not much of a chance of much other than that. Well, the Bulls, they went for the rebuild a couple years before the Pistons did. And, you know, here they are, 12-15, mm-hmm. Some nice pieces, but how do you dig out of this? So, obviously that's a big challenge ahead for Troy Weaver and Dwayne Casey and this Pistons organization.
Right, and you got to look for help, you know, from the tanking standpoint at the other teams around the league. You got the Wizards on a three-game winning streak right now, that's going to help because those teams are going to expect Washington to get better than what they've performed so far with a little bit of the star power that they have. And whatever happens in Cleveland, is they're on an 8-game losing streak right now. So the Pistons do have to be careful. And like you had mentioned earlier in the episode, a loss is kind of a win to us this year. And it would have been nice to have a 3-game winning streak, but we can't, you know, we told ourselves before the season, we're not going to get caught up in the wins and losses. Is this team competitive every night? Is this team growing? We knew we were walking into a retooling or rebuild, whatever words you want to use. And along with that is going to come some very inconsistent play from some very young players. But this bench scores more than any bench in the NBA, which is not something I don't think we expected. Sadiq Bey is setting NBA all-time records as rookie, you know, the only rookie to hit all seven of his three-point shots in one game, 6 weeks into his NBA career, 2 months into his NBA career. So, again, we go through a third quarter, a second half like this. Yeah, it stings a little bit. But at the end of the day, we knew we were going to see a lot of this. But I think from a fan's perspective, we've seen a lot more positive than I would have expected at this point in the year, especially thinking that the number 7 pick went down as quickly as Killian Hayes did. So, you know, as inconsistent as this team has been, it's fun. People are interested. And they're building something that I think could turn into really something special here for the city.
Little bad news for the tank on Wednesday night is the Timberwolves actually lost to the Indiana Pacers in overtime in a game that they were up for much of it. So they fall to 7-22. However, Karl-Anthony Towns is back in the lineup for Minnesota, but D'Angelo Russell is now out with an injury. So you win some, you lose some. If you're Minnesota, you lose a lot. But you're 7-22 right now, the worst team in the NBA, the Pistons, a game and a half ahead of them in the standings. A tangled web we weave at the bottom of the NBA, and we'll see how it all plays out. But we were talking about watching Chicago and seeing what they look like during the process. They're looking at us, too, with the Blake Griffin rumors out there. Up next, Matt Peck, host of Locked On Bulls, is going to tell us what he thinks about the Bulls in a Blake Griffin trade. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But first,
Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook expert.
Got to tell you guys about rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet for your ride. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and the prices that you prefer. Best of all, it's those prices at rockauto.com. They are always reliably low, and the same for the professionals as the do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box? So that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. When you need fantasy basketball advice, it's important that you have a reliable source. More people trust Josh Lloyd, host of Locked On Fantasy Basketball, than any other fantasy basketball podcast. Subscribe to the number one fantasy basketball podcast, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, wherever you get your podcasts. Here is Matt Peck, friend of the show, and host of Locked On Bulls, talking on their show from Wednesday about a possible Blake Griffin trade.
A couple of people texting in about one Blake Griffin. Pretty interesting stuff here. So the 217 says, any interest in trading for Blake Griffin? Obviously, Otto would have to go, but what else? Obviously, talking about matching some contracts there. And the plus 61477 international texter, Stu in Melbourne, by the way, adds on to that hypothetical of the previous texter saying, what do you think if the Bulls trade Otto Porter Jr. and Lowry for Detroit's pick in 2021 if it lands 1-14 and Blake Griffin? Firstly, I think that pick could be a great pick. Secondly, I really believe in Donovan's ability to put players in a position to succeed. I think he could rehab Blake's value like he did with CP3 to where it is a tradable contract in the offseason, similar to what OKC did, but when they get a haul, similar to what OKC did when they got a haul from the Suns. What do you think? So, am I interested in Blake Griffin? Do I think the Bulls should be interested in Blake Griffin, and what would it cost to get him? First of all, no offense, Stu in Melbourne, but I think that your fairyland idea of the Bulls giving Otto and Lowry to Detroit and the Pistons send the Bulls a pick and Blake Griffin is, well, exactly that. It's a fairy tale trade. Yes, Blake Griffin has been a, you know, an injury-plagued player throughout his years in the NBA, and yes, he's getting up there, 31 going on 32. But he's still Blake Griffin. That name still commands respect. And whereas Otto Porter Jr. were at some point in time, even as recently as the start of this season, looked to be a very tradable asset, not only as a quality 3-and-D player, but one on a gigantic expiring contract, and expiring contracts being an asset in and of themselves because of the way that the NBA salary cap operates these days, is less true right now in mid-February than it was even back in December. Here's why. Otto is a 27-year-old in number only. Apparently, much to my frustration, as you heard me yelling at Jordan about if Otto's healthy, he should play in the weeks leading up to this season, has not been healthy and is on the shelf. And apparently the last time he even tried to get shots up before a practice, during a practice, after a practice, couldn't get several shots up because his back spasms were flaring up so significantly that he couldn't even shoot. That doesn't sound like a 27-year-old. That also doesn't sound like a piece that players or teams, are going to be scraping after, insisting to get in a trade package. Even not the player Otto Porter Jr., but the contract Otto Porter Jr. is less valuable now than it was, say, 4 or 5 months ago, before the 2020 offseason, delayed as it were. Because guess what? The 2021 free agency class that was once star-studded, MVP candidates, MVP winners, all-stars, multi-time all-stars, has now been whittled down through contract extensions, trades and extensions, et cetera, et cetera. So the amount of teams across the league who are going to be motivated so aggressively by clearing cap space off their books for the 2021 offseason, the 2021 free agent class, is significantly lesser right now than it was 4 or 5 months ago. Why are teams going to be rushing to clear cap space off their books if there are no players available to spend said cap space on? For that reason, Otto Porter Jr. and his contract, much less valuable right now than it used to be. And that is because of no players available for said cap space this upcoming summer / fall, and the fact that Otto is a ghost, missing from the Bulls rotation because he's 27-year-old and has the back of a 57-year-old. So that right there is how I feel about that particular piece of this hypothetical trade and just trading Otto in general leading up to this deadline. Then Lowry is the other name included in Stu's hypothetical to get Blake away from the Pistons. The guy who is a restricted free agent, impending restricted free agent, the guy who has been up and down, consistently inconsistent once again this season, showing some signs of aggression, a couple of 30-point games here and there, knocking down some threes at a better rate than he was last season, has somewhat rediscovered himself, but not quite all the way, still looks like a pretty soft player, still looks like somebody you can't play at the five defensively, or at least not for too many minutes and get away with it. Somebody who hasn't really improved at all on the defensive end. Somebody who theoretically, according to several reports from his representatives, is looking for the neighborhood of $20 million annually on a new contract this summer. That guy? Maybe the Pistons are one of several teams across the league who feel all he needs is the right system and the right coach and the right teammates, and we can't take that Lowry, who was a first-team all-rookie guy, who, you know, exploded people's eyes as a rookie. And then as a second-year player, averaged 18-9, looking like he was on his way to being a 20-10 player in the NBA. They still see that player in there somewhere, and they are willing to take the risk to get that player in a trade and sign him to a new contract. I still think that that is entirely possible, that plenty of teams out there see Lowry as a gem that just has a little bit of dust on him, that needs a little bit of dusting and a little bit of reshaping. But it's a harder sell right now, isn't it? Given the ups and downs of his career. Given the fact that once again, he is on the shelf nursing an injury right now. A player, perhaps much like Wendell Carter Jr., his teammate, who is developing, unfortunately, the label of injury prone through the years of his rookie contract. Is that a piece? The teams are, you know, hurriedly picking up their phones to come get? I don't think so. So, in this hypothetical, where the Bulls are offering up Otto and Lowry in a trade with the Pistons to get Blake Griffin, you might be saying, well, hey, Blake Griffin has all those labels that you just used for Otto and Lowry. You know, looks older than he is, injury prone, can't stay healthy, can't stay on the court, washed up, you know, a bit of a risk. Sure. But he's the only one in that trio of players whose name is Blake Griffin, who, yes, had most of his all-star seasons early in his career with the Clippers, but did, as recently as the 2018-19 season, which was his first full season with the Pistons and his best season with the Pistons, play 75 games, start all 75 of those games, and average 24.5, 7.5, and 5.5. Now, you look at what he's done this season, and clearly he's struggling. In Blake's 20 games this season, he's averaging just 12 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Not awful. Like, at least he's still giving you some nice spread with his assists and rebounds. But 12 points? 12 points on, 36.5% field goal percentage? Not three-point percentage. Overall field goal percentage. He's shooting 36.5%. In the 18 games he played last season, just 18 games last season, he shot 35% from the floor. So I'm looking at what Blake Griffin has done this season and in his very short stint last season. And I'm looking at what the name Blake Griffin still carries, the weight it still carries when you're talking about trades. And I'm talking about, and I'm thinking about the player and the production of said player attached to that name. And I'm thinking, as much respect as I have for Blake Griffin, I don't want the Bulls going anywhere near that.
Matt Peck of Locked On Bulls comes around and says he doesn't want a part of Blake Griffin, and rightfully so. It's been rough these last couple years. But I think the takeaway for me listening to Matt talk about his own players on the Chicago Bulls, that they're following Otto Porter and the back situation, Lauri Markkanen, and the roller coaster that his rookie contract has been in Chicago, is that those are three assets that no one's going to get all that excited about. He makes a great point about the expiring contracts not being as big of a deal going into this offseason. But I think that the most important part about the trade proposal is that none of those players on either side of that are anywhere near as valuable as a pick from the Detroit Pistons going into next season. So, no, Otto Porter and Lauri Markkanen, while you'd rather have those two players than Blake Griffin and the contract that he has right now, and certainly those are better assets than Blake Griffin, they are not so much better that the Pistons should attach something like next year's first-round draft pick to it. So some interesting talk out there, and wanted to share you guys some perspective from what sounds like a little bit of a beaten-down fan base, like I talked about with the Chicago Bulls, and hopefully Troy Weaver navigates this thing well over these next few years, and the early indications that he's doing a very good job with it, and we will see how that transpires over the years. But some dangerous waters that the Pistons are creeping into. But no, I don't think trading away valuable possible future stars that are right now draft picks is the answer for Blake Griffin, and maybe the buyout, and maybe just being patient with the fact that you might have some dead money on your books next season. Not the worst thing in the world, especially given what's ahead this offseason. But that'll do it for Locked On Pistons. Thanks to Brother Brian. Thanks to Matt Peck of Locked On Bulls. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. I'm your host, Matt Shook. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.